Hello, hello, and welcome back. You're on Soil Series. This is Tanya. Before we get started, I just want to recognize all of the Indigenous peoples across the lands, across this planet, past, present, and future. And in the studio today, I have two special guests, both locals from here in Amsterdam. We've got Marsha Roo, who's been on the show before, so you all know her, local artist, does the Museum of Edible Earth. And I've also got Elvira
Semo,
thank you so much.
Storyteller.
Yeah, Elvira is a storyteller. She's also doing a project at the moment with Marsha.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you both about that a little bit more, but do you both want to say hello and maybe your pronouns before we get started?
Hi, so I'm Elvira and my pronouns is she, but I also like to be called they and them. Thank you.
Great, thank you. I'll remember.
Hey, my name is Marsha and I prefer pronouns they, them.
Fantastic. And I also prefer they, them. I'm not sure. I think this might be the first time I've actually done the pronouns on the radio. So thank you so much, both of you, for like bringing that conversation. And before we get started, the other thing I want to ask you before talking about like your work and connection to soil, I want to get started by asking you, what earth or soil do you feel like you are today? And whilst you think about it, I'll just share mine with the listeners. But you can think about it. So I'm definitely this a type of sand, and I'll describe this particular type of sand to you. So I'm like this very this type of sand that has been moist and then it's dried, and you often find me at the beach, and it's kind of like when the sand has compacted together when it's dried and it's caked together, and you can pick it up in like one block, and at first it seems really sturdy, you know, it feels rock hard and you can walk on it and your feet don't make impressions in the sand, but once you pick it up and you play with it a bit, it just falls apart. So that's me today.
Pops in my mind, and thank you for sharing your sandy feelings. So, because I went Sunday with friends I met in Den Haag, we went to Kijk Duin to the sea, and the particular sand I came in contact with was when I was with my bare feet in the water and playing with the sand, which was like very loose and movable and very soothing, and it really grounded me. So yeah, where land meets water, that kind of scent. Thank you.
So it was all around your feet and like surrounding you. It moved to you instead of you going to it.
Oh, wow. That's also good.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thanks. I really, I can imagine the moment. I feel like I've had a few moments like those as well down in the water.
All right. And me, I'm more like a kind of clay. But clay which is not too sticky, and clay also which is not really even, but also with bits of sand and bits of rocks in it, and kind of grayish clay, mm-hmm, from somewhere far away from the seaside, more like in the round mountains and the woods.
Yeah, fantastic. I think I can imagine. Actually, back home in Australia, I think we might have quite a lot of clay like that. Like our clay back home, I think, doesn't feel as sticky as it does here, but really hard, really, really dense.
Nice.
Maybe a bit more dried out somehow.
I am still waiting for your clay from Australia.
Which
is meant for food.
Yeah, sorry. I think I need to warn you that this might take many months. Maybe, yeah, if I haven't delivered it within a year, then you can like beat me up, but I think 6 months to a year, that's the timeline. I'm aiming for it, hopefully 6 months.
All right, I will wait for it.
We're on track. Yeah, do you want to tell me about what's what you're holding right now?
So I'm like really tasting some clay eatable clayish ice cream. It's grayish. It's like a really smooth texture. And I made a little bit of a cocktail with it because I added some splashes of beer. And now I'm literally taking out the smaller stones, which are still in the clay. And this ice cream has a hint of cinnamon. And I'm going to look at Masha because perhaps you know the precise ingredients. But it's so nice, this Aish? Earthable kind of ice cream. Thank you. Yeah.
So this ice cream we produced with in collaboration with Diptych, artist Ole Lanko. And this was, I think I was here on the interview 3 weeks ago, and afterwards there was exhibition opening. Mm-hmm. So this ice cream was there, it was served. So now we are bringing some of it to the studio Patapu, to the Radio Soil Matters.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really, really enjoying it. So I think maybe now do you want to say something? I was going to suggest we play a song and then come back with some more conversation. But
I actually just wanted to add that this is a vegan ice cream and it has a clay as a component in it.
Great.
And also Elvira just did a little ceremony to
alleviation of the ground with the beer.
Maybe you can tell us a bit more what you just did.
So this is like a personal kind of small ritual, but from African tradition and what I know from my Suriname Creole Maroon tradition, when you want to have like a peaceful kind of gathering with just yourself or with a small group of people, to say also to the elements you cannot see, or perhaps to make the area where you are in to say hello and to greet all the spheres that are present, and that you are with the sprinkling of some water, or now I did it with beer, to say welcome to Masha, to Tanya, myself, and to you audience, and that we have an enjoyable broadcasting. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for the ceremony. And you said it was called
Libation in English, so, but it's in Dutch you would say Pleng Offer.
Yes.
Playing over,
yes.
Or libation.
Offering for the ancestors of this place.
Yes. This place.
Thank you, ancestors, and Elvira for bringing this. And I want to add about a comment about the ice cream. What I enjoy most of all is, of course, okay, so there's the delicious ice cream part. You put this really tasty ice cream in your mouth and it's cold and tasty. And then, but there's just like a slight, almost like a clayiness or like something, or the earth almost creates then something to bite down on, not in a large way, but in a very, very subtle way in between the teeth. It almost, creates like a little bit more substance to the ice cream that it like lingers a little bit longer than a regular ice cream.
Yes.
That's what I really love.
Yeah, it doesn't melt in your mouth as fast. These little bits of earth, they're staying, and then you bite on them and it creates the structure. It's like ice cream with nuts.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, I love it. Okay, did you want to add anything else? No? I'll play a song and then we'll be back in just a few minutes. So the first song we had was Tina Ruven with Mata Jam Yin Mixin. And next we are playing a song by Skrigagology Radha Ramana. Enjoy.
Life's written and displayed on the beat, spark a leaf. Turn the tables and enable the weak. Conveyed for those unable to speak, just release. When it gets heavy, turn and meditate. Find a focal point, untangle the mess, elevate. Feel it resonate, course through the body, penetrate to a present state. Mind wanna get away. The mother magnet, imagine the mere magnitude. Get you off the side streets onto the avenues. Whether you're new to the game or a veteran, material knots are something that we sever in. It's unsettling having to say goodbye. Draw a fine line between flying and getting high. We never die. Body's like a snake skin. Life after life, for love is how we break it in.
Lottos and the burpees, keep it so simple and straight, no swerve. Early 30s, no job took it. Take my time with my French fries and a survey. In no hurry, and drop it like an over it. Digital wide, no analog, no turret. On time, I show them what you made up. No wishy washy, this is beta. Later, tell them how you want now. Flash eagles and cash is what it's all about. Paradise up in these elements.
As the feeling inside confirms direction, steady remembrance, leaving you behind, a mistake of mine, please accept this correction. You let me be your parent or friend or lover, so amazing relation in every section. A dance in every flavor, when will that day be mine, when will I savor? When mercy shines in divine favor, when my heart soothed in Kali Yuga, when will I wake up? The sun breathes and carry these prayers. The mantra calls, escape the naysayers. Cause I'm the soul, the gradual body vacator. To travel home, a spiritual sky aviator.
So we're back, and maybe do you want to introduce yourselves a little bit? Maybe you could introduce each other. How would that feel? Would you feel comfortable with that? Or yeah, all right. Yeah, I would love to hear. Who wants to go first?
Whoop. I connected at an event with Masha. She was wearing, like, they were wearing. Yo. Thank you for the correction. I'm learning. They were wearing, like.
We're all learning.
Life is learning when you are alive. It's a process. So they were wearing a t-shirt with a tiger. And afterwards, I was able to name the tiger on the t-shirt Masha was wearing Sankofa, because the tiger reminded me, because of the stories Masha told me, to like being connected to like certain traditional elements from the past, but also in a way being present and forward looking. Pimba connected us. Pimba is a Suriname, healing, peaceful earth.
Masha's also holding up a piece of earth right now.
Yeah, it's a ball like form, whitish clay in a fast form. And I think we're going to nibble on it in a short while. And Pimba is the Suriname name for our earth clay. And it means peace. That's something I learned from Masha. Like a Russian person went to Suriname, got in touch with like my native clay. And I learned about it in Amsterdam. So that was my first moment of learning more about like my heritage and culture. And it it was really interesting. Yeah, and I stayed in touch with Masha. So we met in 2018.
Can I ask a question? How did you feel about then that you learn a bit about your culture in this roundabout way?
So I was looking because I then was in an active way processing and learning more about my own storytelling abilities and wanting to be more of, yes, telling the stories of my lineage, my Creole African lineage. Being born in Suriname, I was 3 when I came to Amsterdam, but I wasn't really raised with a lot of like cultural stories in regard to my Creole Maroon heritage. So I found it very wise and also a little bit mysterious, because we do not openly like to talk about Pimba. That's the name, the Suriname name for talking about this. But I found it so interesting, and I was glad Masha was able to tell me things and to learn and to like stay in touch with her and talk a lot more. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. I have so many questions now. And so when you went to Suriname, were you already living in the Netherlands?
Oh, yes, for sure. I was already here in the Netherlands, and I was actually very interested in eating earth, eating clay. And my neighbor in the project where I used to live, Art for Community project in Bos en Lommer, she had her roots in Suriname. She was born there and raised there, and she moved to the Netherlands later. And she was busy with cultural practices like Vinti and different things. She had so many things in her house that she showed to me, and she talked a lot about communication with non-human world and with nature, with actually trees. That's something I know also from Russia, from my background, how this communication is important. And she actually saw that I was working with this eating clay, and then she showed Pimba to me. Mm-hmm. And she had this huge ball of Pimba, like this ball, but much bigger. Like, you know, it would just fill your hand if you hold it like this.
Tennis ball kind of form.
A kind of tennis ball indeed, as Elvira is just saying.
Can you describe the material a little bit more? Because to me, it looks a bit like a ball of chalk almost. Yeah. Like, I wonder how it's held together, like, especially if it gets even bigger.
You want to answer this, Elvira?
No, I'm because I'm not really familiar with like the process of how it is like, let's say, if I say it correctly, Masha, harvested, and how they make it into the bowl. That's something you might perhaps tell us. But what you were saying, Tanya, it's like chalk-like. I will take a nibble of it. And what you will see, it also gives like this whitish kind of imprint on my hand. And what I know is that also people who are into the more ritual element of this Pimba, they like adorn themselves with the whitish. And because it's peace-giving and also very soothing, I will now just take a nibble, and you just like see it's this powdery kind of element when you take a little nibble. So I will nibble, people. It doesn't give any sound. And it's powdery in the mouth. I think for sharing together, it will be also, in a way, connecting us with the peaceful earth. Thank you.
I think right now I'm going to take a nibble as well.
Yeah. Let's nibble.
It's makhluk. It's makhluk. It's our snack. Alawal.
Masha is more adventurous.
I took a big piece. Mm-hmm. It is some... It is a little bit like dry milk. Mm-hmm. It is very dry, dries my mouth. Okay, Tanya is already on it. Tanya.
It's too much. It's too much.
I think, Tanya, now you can answer your question yourself. Yeah. How is it for you?
It's very dry. I feel like I've smoked a lot of bongs and my mouth is very dry, you know? Like, yeah, your mouth gets really pasty. And it's like, I try and make saliva now.
Absorbing, isn't it?
Yeah, my saliva glands just went must. I hope they go into overdrive now. I hope they're just like, make saliva. Go. Okay, all right. Yep, I think it's working. And I feel it in my teeth a little bit. The chalkiness. And, but the in, yeah, I don't know. It was a scary moment in the beginning. I feel, I built a bit. Well, I'm covered in it. I just looked down. I bit off like a biggish piece. And then it was like a bit overwhelming. Like I kind of felt like I was going to suffocate on it almost. But it was an, I'd do it again. It was an enjoyable experience. And then, yeah, okay. But yeah, did you want to say something?
Oh, I actually many things. I think I wanted just to add to the story that I started before, that my neighbors said to me that I should just travel to Suriname, mm-hmm. and that I will find answers to the questions I'm looking for.
You're really on a quest, sort of. Perfect.
Exactly, and that's how I went, I think, 1 or 2 years later. I moved from Bosnia-Lomer to Amsterdam by mer, and after this, I traveled to Suriname. Uh-huh. And that's where I actually learned so much about Pimba, and I traveled to places where Pimba is coming from the earth. Mm-hmm. So it looked like white earth, but sometimes it was white clay, but sometimes it was more white sand, depending on the location. So mostly it was in Suriname and Paranam area, or Mungo, or Botopassi. Oh, sorry, Botopassi. Brokopondo. Botopassi I went as well in Binnenland, in the inlands. And there was a local Pimba with a lot of sand and rocks in it, like bigger balls.
Wow.
And these balls were not really for eating, but really for the practices, because the rocks, like little sand and pieces of rocks, were too big in this Pimba.
Yeah. And because you also told me that you brought your Russian earth to Suriname. And how did the people, local people, reacted to your Russian earth? Yeah.
This was a very interesting point of connection. So myself, I was born and raised in Russia. And there is also a tradition of eating earth in a very different form. But edible earth is sold online, the different online shops. Mostly it is about eating some kind of chalk, mm-hmm. but also there is this white clay, which is similar structure as Pimba. It is like white kaolin, and it has, I guess, a bit less cultural meaning. Okay. But what is interesting that quite some of this white chalk or white earth comes from the places where there are some churches.
Oh, beautiful.
So it feels like there are some kind of places of power.
Yeah.
And maybe also these were places of power before Christianity.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is just rather a guess of mine. I didn't research it that far. And so I just took some of these samples from Russia and brought them to Suriname. And I tried to just share it. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting experience because I think people were happy to have this earth and everybody wanted to try or to exchange it for pinball.
Oh, beautiful.
And also people would be just like, oh yeah, this also exists in Russia.
Yeah, that is so mind-opening and for new perspectives, this is like so connective element worldwide. That's also what intrigued me when I started to talk with you. So how the element of connectiveness when it comes to like our planet and the Earth, how it's, yeah, already here, but I wasn't aware of it. So thank you. Yeah.
I guess the thing is that because we all come from the same core, and then as you asked earlier, like, or you said, made a comment about the movement of the continents around the planet, and so it's the same. You know, all the continents moved to different locations, and they ran into other continents or formed mountains, or one continent like slipped under the edge of another continent. But they're all the same processes, and they're all formed of the same materials. So in the end, we have these very similar materials on the other side of the planet. The things on the outside, maybe like the trees and the grass and the leaves, these things start to look a little bit more different. But then the things beneath the ground, these are the same substance. Like that's everything is formed out of very similar substances in the end.
Yes, on one hand similar, on the other hand different. Because different types of earth that I encountered and also tried to engage with in the last years, they are so different. Actually, you see here, we have different samples of earth. Also, we took some from Indonesia.
Yes, because for my father's lineage, I have a grandmother from Java, Indonesia. Like the people from Java when slavery was ended and cheap labor was needed in Suriname. So the contract arbeiters from like also India, other parts of the world, but also Java, Indonesia parts, people came to Suriname. And from that side, I have like the lineage from my father's side. So I was happy to taste like Indonesian eatable earth. And what's also so intriguing and nice to experience is really the difference in flavor and texture when you really taste the edible earth. And I now will take this powdery, like brownish, caramelish. I'm just like rubbing it between my fingers, my thumb and my pointing finger. And it's like also a different kind of, how do you say it? The market leaves when you just let the powder slide. So I will now taste it and check what the effect will be. So I just took a little bit on my tongue, but this is like a more muddy kind of element. I'm just tasting it. So it's more a little bit like when I would be on an attic. So I don't know what kind of flavor this is. Attic kind of flavor.
Okay, so a bit of moisture in the air perhaps. Yeah. Will you put some on my ice cream?
It's so nice to sprinkle and to play with it flavor-wise.
Ah, thank you so much. Yeah, well, maybe that makes sense because I imagine Indonesia to be... I actually haven't been, which is a real shame because Australia is so close. But I guess with a lot of water around, and I also haven't been to Suriname, actually. But how do you feel like the water... like changes in compares in these two places, like the rainfall and the amount of like rivers and like the wetness of the land? Like, could you describe that a bit?
In Indonesia, I think actually what you just pronounced is really present in the taste of what we just...
I think so, yes. Yeah, what we just experienced. I think that you were saying that, Masha. Yeah, the like moistness, the tropical kind of, when a really hard rain, that tropical kind of rain with like the many drops has fallen, you just smell the palm trees and all the greenish kind of elements of that area. And I think the Indonesian kind of
how do you say, the way it's positioned on the Earth is almost similar where Suriname lays. So you have different, the same kind of smells, but different kind of places Earth-wise. But yeah, the same kind of characteristics, the elements you can feel with your senses. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, so just to answer the previous question, the Earth is very different. Like that, what we tasted now is different. Mm-hmm. It's very different than Pimba. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it doesn't mean that in Indonesia there is no white Earth like Pimba. Mm. It's just that I didn't find it.
That is such a fantastic point. I love it. And I love that you say that. I would say one other difference between the Earth is more about like the structure of the continents, is that Indonesia is lots of islands, and then Suriname is connected to a huge piece of land. So maybe this is where, even though they both kind of get a lot of rainfall, maybe then there's a bit more dryness in the actual land of Suriname. But like, I haven't been and I haven't studied it, so these are very vague observations. Like, these aren't observations. These are not even observations. And I'm just trying to like explain these two pieces of earth that I see in front of me. So it's more a reflection of what I see in front of me than anything in reality. I mean, on the continent.
I think what you're bringing in now and what is important is that actually it's not only many islands, but many tribes, many folks, many languages, many ethnical groups, which are now like one country, but actually these are many different kingdoms. And they have different earths. I've been only in Java and Lombok, and already there I discovered different types of earths. The one that we tried was from Java. And in Lombok, there was another one. It was called Batu Ampan. And the kind of gray volcanic rock, very soft, that people traditionally used to eat. Uh-huh. It was a really beautiful journey. Also, we went into the woods to harvest for this rock. And actually, in Russia, is also the situation like this. There, different folks, different languages, different regions. And here I have also earth from Russia, from a place which is called Bashkirtostan.
Wow.
And this is also eaten. Mm-hmm. It is a bit like a kind of grayish. So I'm curious what you find about it. We are going to try it right now.
Oh, yeah. This also leaves a lot of powder on the hand. Also, yeah. So yeah, it's very similar to, it feels similar to the Pimba so far. I could also imagine adorning myself in this a little bit.
Wow.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it leaves color on the skin.
Mm. And it's like grayish, bluish, soft taste. It's a different kind of powder structure kind of way. Yeah, I'm still adapting to them working in my mouth. It isn't that dryish kind of earth kind of feeling. And I like this. It's nice. Nice. So this is Russia, Bashkir clay, sand in blue. Thank you. Yeah. And the aftertaste is also nice. The Pimba didn't leave any aftertaste, but this is, I feel, and I taste a particular kind of after flavor. So, could be great ice cream also. Yeah. I compare everything to ice cream now. Thank you.
Maybe in future we can use it to produce another type of ice cream.
Yeah,
I also think it would be great. I also really enjoy this flavor.
Yeah, when I'm looking at you too much, I have something here in their mouth, you on your forehead. When we leave this place, in an hour or 1.5 hour, we'll like be totally covered in clay. Everybody when they see us in Amsterdam.
And I'm also just thinking about, actually, the first time I saw you was during quarantine and during a Zoom webinar about earthing. And there was a little bit of dialogue, actually, about people and yeah, their connection in Russia or the USSR to the land, and how, yeah, this was this area of land is made up of lots of different peoples, and then it just reminds me of that now when you bring this up, that Russia is also made up of lots of different peoples, and this is something that's often overlooked as well. And I guess I just wanted to bring up this story of how we met, and also and I guess also I really remember Nonti being there and being a prominent character, and I really appreciated meeting her that day as well. I wanted to actually ask you if you have more projects or work planned with Nonti.
Do you want to go, Masha, first? You know Monty longer, I think, than me.
With Nonti or Nontogozo, we are in a dialogue, and actually I really hope that she can come to Amsterdam as well and we can do some things together, but also meet with Elvira and other people who were on this event. This was an online event called Grounding, but at the same time a group for this online event got together in Amsterdam, so there was a panel, but some people were in the studio of Nelson Carrillo in Amsterdam to call in for the Zoom meeting. So I hope Nontogozo can come and meet people physically, and then we can do some things together. We were in the conversation, but still no concrete plans yet. But actually, we are having a project that is coming up here in Amsterdam with Elvira, and as well connected to the work of Nelson. So maybe Elvira can tell more about it.
Yeah, please. I would be really interested, and I think everyone on the radio would also be really interested to hear.
Okay, thank you. So to tell a little bit about my current research and my connecting to a statue in the Vondelpark. It's a universal Mother Earth figurine. It's a 2-meter-ish big bronze statue with a lot of rough workings with openings, and you can clearly see a mother figure. And the statue was placed in the Vondelpark in 1984. In 1983, because of the murder of Kerwin Duinmeijer on the dam here in Amsterdam, in the city center in Amsterdam, a black Curaçao boy at the age of 15 got murdered by a white boy. And so I get a little bit emotional, but because of the connecting to also current events, knowing how black lives all over the planet are so
I just want to getting... I want you to finish, yeah? And then I want you to also repeat their name again.
Ah, okay. So the name of the boy, you mean?
Yeah, that was murdered. So.
That was murdered, yes. His full name is Kerwin Lucas Duinmeijer. So Kerwin was also an adopted boy with a white family, so that's the name Duinmeijer. But Lucas is his birth name, family name. So Kerwin got murdered. He is from Curaçao, Dutch descent. And also the commemoration monument, which was done by the sculptor Nelson Carrillo. He's also from Dutch Curaçao descent. So that's also a very beautiful connection. So in 1983, when this sad event happened, and it's named the first racial murder after World War II. I was 1983, so I was 12. So the actual event, I cannot remember. So fast forward, when I came via in 2017 in the studio of the sculptor Nelson Carrillo, it was for me really, a surprise, but also intriguing to learn the extra stories also of the making of this commemoration monument, and to learn the reason why the sculptor chose to make a universal mother figurine, because he wanted to be the commemoration of Kerwin, to become more than just remembering of a boy, but to be a symbol
the monument, the artwork, to be a symbol of bridging cultural differences and connecting people all over the planet. And yeah, to be in dialogue for getting to know each other. So that's certain kind of elements I found like really rich, and also surprised that many people were not familiar with the stories. And I also learned that the sculptor brought individual people to the sculpture to bring flowers and to put flowers in the holes of the monument, because symbolically the holes represent the pain every person living might encounter in his, her, or their life. So everybody who is living a life at a certain point in your life, you might encounter some severe difficulties, and then to find the strength to go further and to find your own wisdom and your own strength with relevant others is what it's all about, to be really alive. And by bringing flowers by the individual person and to have a reflective moment to connect with the inner mother and to be able to give wording to what the feelings are and to find new connections inside to be like more adaptable to the outer world. That's a big story that I connected with, and I'm doing my own research and started my own flower kind of dialogue moments as from spring 2019.
Yeah, I saw a fantastic photo of you and Masha with some flowers with Mama Baruka, and I think it was it looked like a special moment. And do you want to talk a bit more about your relationship with the flowers and the sculpture?
So what?
More specific question.
Yeah, I was still reflecting on your question, but I also, while we were speaking, was thinking, so the sculpture, besides it's called the Karen Monument, it's called Mama Baranka. So a strong woman on Curaçao is called a Mama Baranka, and Baranka in English is rock. So it's actually Mother Rock, but universally, symbolically, it's you can say it's Mama Pacha, it's Gaia, it's Mother Earth. And that element also really resonated with me, because I was personally still also having to deal with longer periods of my depression and having lost my mother in 2017 because she had a death due to cancer. But I took care of the past year before that. So I was also in a certain kind of a transitional kind of state, grounding myself, earthing myself. So that was an extra element why this also resonated with me. And to be able to tell inspiring stories of Black people to enrich us all on an like international way, that's like have been my process since 2017, I guess.
Yeah, thank you so much, and I'm sorry to hear of the loss.
Thank you.
And really appreciate your openness to share that now. I think bringing these flowers to Mama Branca is a really beautiful gift. It's such a wonderful thing to take. It's like moving one part of nature around to another place and interact, like moving these flowers around from one place on the planet to another, and to interact and appreciate the beauty of these specimens and to enjoy them and then also place them for others to enjoy. So it's a special thing.
So it made me also think back a bit how we met indeed, and that Elvira came to my studio and was really interested in the earth that I had in the studio and just different samples of earth. So I think I gave to you some pimba from Suriname, but also other samples that you wanted to have. And then I went to look for Mama Baranka in Wundelpark.
Yes.
and to get to know the sculpture. And I found it actually really, kind of what made me think is that I realized not so many people know that the sculpture is there and what the sculpture is about and the history behind the sculpture. And, you know, I also didn't know this before I met you. And maybe for me it's a bit different because I wasn't raised in the Netherlands and I didn't go to school here. But even if I would, probably I wouldn't know as well. Yeah. This there is a chance. So I felt a lot of connection with the sculpture. And also on this picture that Tanya used for this interview in 2019, Elvira invited me to do a little ceremony. Next to Mama Baranka, we brought some earth and flowers. And then we had a kind of little meal together, but also you brought this piece of material to put on my hand.
Yes, so the traditional cloth, the maroon Surinamese people like to wear, like to adorn themselves with. And very intuitively, because when I went to Suriname with my mother in 2015, I brought some different kind of those cloths to back home to Amsterdam. And yeah, preparing for our get together in the Vondelpark, I just like from connecting to the event, meeting and earthing with you, I just felt like in a way to put something on ourselves besides the earth kind of element, to have this cloth also as a binding element and have something lasting for as long as it wanted to last. So I wore it like a few weeks, and at a certain point we made a certain kind of bracelet with the fabric, and then at a certain point it was for me finished for what it was worth. And then I just removed it and put it on a special place for remembrance. Yeah.
I have the piece of fabric that you put on my hand back then. I have it also in a special place in my house.
Oh, and what I also find that day very special, because you had your hand burnt. And we also have a very, very artistic kind of picture with your hand totally covered in this clay. And you told me it was very healing and very soothing also. So that was also great to learn. Yeah.
Maybe this burn was meant to be, because just before I was going to meet you on that day, I put the tea that just boiled on my hand, and I had a lot of pain, and I knew we have this meeting, but also I knew there will be a little video recording taking place in photos, so I knew this just has to go on. I'm not going to, of course, cancel it, but I had so much pain. So I started putting clay in my hand. I know clay has a lot of healing powers, also for wounds, for inflammations.
The natural band-aid, actually. It's a natural band-aid, actually. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so I came there to meeting you with this hand full of clay, or actually hand in clay.
Hand in clay.
Yeah. And then you put on the same hand, you put this.
Oh, this the bracelet of fabric, of traditional Surinamese fabric. Yeah.
And then it looked also, we took some pictures, and
this is something
really
that
very
it special,
became up with.
And then
together,
I remember you asked me to.
But actually, I mean, you asked me to bring different earths from different places.
And then I think we put some of the earths
around Baranka. The statue together with the flowers.
Yeah, we did some walking
we put,
around.
Or maybe
the statue
this is something
because,
that.
The, also, the element of this statue is that it's a statue where the feet of this universal mother is in the ground. Normally, when you see Dutch outdoor artwork, normally it's on a high pedestal. And also my Mama Baranka figurine, she's looking like far, far away. And in a sense, from the corner of her eye, she also meets Vondel, the poet Vondel. He's on his high pedestal sitting, a white man, just looking not to my statue. And Mama Baranka is glancing to him in afar, and I think she has some messages for him, but I hope and I think Vondel will first speak to her and pay her some homage, I think.
Yeah, because these two statues are not too far away from each other. They are separated by some water though, are they? No,
grass.
Just the grass.
Yeah.
I have two questions. How do you think the statue of Vondo could recognize Mama Barranca? And the other question I have is, you spoke a bit about how Mama Barranca embodies like us all, like the human body, all of our human bodies. And I wonder, but I have this feeling that also Mama Barranca also embodies the earth, right? Or like, yeah, you speak about her being connected to the earth, but I wonder if you could talk about how or does she or does she not? Maybe she does not, I don't know. Does she embody the earth and how? These two questions.
Yeah, beautiful questions. Thank you. So your first question, the connectiveness, the poet Vondel to Mama Barranca, if he recognizes her.
Yeah, and how he might be able to do that.
So you have this like 17th century man in statue? A statue. In Vondel Park. So while I'm...
Permanent gaze,
not looking at my statue. So I think, no, he doesn't recognize her, not at first sight. But she's like so prominent. Yes. Now the dynamic's gonna start working. Because like knowing we all, unless you like fabricated like in a factory, we all come from a mother. We are born from a mother. So this makes us like all coming from a womb. And unless I'm not mistaken, I don't know since when a man could produce life, a baby. So in that fact, we are all, in a sense, connected by the Mother Earth, by the female force. So my working, my research, my working also with flowers, and they represent truth for me. Knowing I also want to be connected to my own truth, to my own, like, history, and looking more into the people which represent me also here historically. So this is certain kind of elements I'm researching, and from that point of view, I really think the dialogue between also Mama Barranca and Vondel is gonna be very interesting, and I also like to play with it when I do my flower positioning in the statue. Last year I started on the first day of spring, and also this year I started for a period putting flowers around spring in the statue, also to get in touch with people passing by, to have impactful talks with people, to invite them to share with me their personal kind of thoughts about this universal mother element, and if they are able, when they know that the holes represent pain, if they are able to connect instantly with that pain. And I invite them, especially when I have flowers with me, I invite them to put, by presenting them with a flower, to leave all the pain behind in the holes of this statue, and to invite all the peacefulness and new things a person likes to be more connected with. So also what I found very special connecting to Masha and her earthing work, her grounding work, her real earth kind of collecting worldwide, it gave me like new story, real story elements, which would add like so much more impact, real impact, because normally stories are not tangible, but because I work with flowers, because Masha works with earth, everything becomes really like all your senses are like put into work. Because normally when I tell a story, it's just my words, but I believe words create worlds. So words really have power. And that's why I'm also, as a person, really, yeah, more, from a responsible point of view, really into selecting my words, being also more silent from a meditative kind of point of view. I heard you also are into yoga, so yoga, silence, walking barefoot, like the sea and all the elements, the trees, they're so important when you really need to connect first inside for balance, to be able especially when you're living in the West, when you have to deal with so many like elements from outside, it's another battle. You have to be able to guard yourself and to enjoy also, because like how difficult periods in your life also might be to connect with relevant others, to find the relevant others, and also to be surprised by relevant others. Because since like I've been on this path of research, of storytelling, connecting to myself, being honest and being vulnerable, that's also a process. So that really opened up so many more connectiveness and trust. So for me, connecting also to Black people more, Black people also internationally, the walk I had on Sunday in Den Haag, it was with like a friend I know from more than 15 years. She and her daughter, they came, and I know her for a very long time, but I hadn't seen her for like 3 years. And there were also like two people from African descent, a boy I met for the first time from Uganda and a lady from Kenya. I know her for 2 years. So it was really, in a sense, connecting from the continents, because I'm from like Suriname, so South America. Now, because of Mama Branca, the Curaçao island element is also connected with me. And it was connecting also so from people from the continent who are based in Den Haag, in Rotterdam, in Alfa aan de Rijn. So it was a rich meeting that Sunday in the water, in the sand. Yeah, thank you.
Do you want to say, would you like to add something, Masha?
Oh, well, I was just, while listening to Elvira, I was just thinking how amazing it is that we met, and I'm really looking forward to, the microphone is going all around in my hand, to also the things that we are going to do.
Yes.
And just everything that you told now, it makes so much connection to the plans that we were just discussing today before we came here, because after, I think last year, we started talking, as Elvira is bringing flowers regularly to Mother Earth, we discussed the idea of bringing actually Earth to the Mother Earth, and...
I think that's a great idea.
For
earthing.
Our project is called Earthing.
Yes. Yeah, offering Earth to Mother Earth. Yeah, great. I think you could maybe do some kind of Earth ceremony or just a...
Because you named us humans parasites, you know, on this planet. So also that resonated also with me when I listened back to your interview on June 25th. People are the parasites on Earth of the planet.
Okay, I said that. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, in a way. But I also think, I think, yeah, we are. But I think we also need to see that maybe we do, we are not only parasites, but we give both ways.
Yeah.
But some, I really tend to have a pessimistic look and really tend to feel like, I think we are a bit out of balance at the moment, and we are a bit destroying the earth. But I think we have the potential to give so much love and care to the earth and restore the balance. Yeah, but thanks so much for listening. I'm touched.
I think your view is not that pessimistic. I would say it's quite realistic. And I think in that interview, I was the one saying it, because actually that's what my teacher of geography told me in my school.
Yeah, the great teacher. We need to send her a copy of the MP3, but we would probably have to translate it. So difficult process, but... Maybe say a little bit about the project itself, because we have been like talking about it here and there, and it's so exciting. And maybe just to like give the listeners like a bit of an overview or summary, because I think I have that from reading a bit about it, and you both obviously have that. And maybe it's nice to just to hear it once more.
Yeah. All right, I will start then.
Yes, of course, Masha.
So bringing earth to Mother Earth. We discussed this, and already I gave some samples to Elvira. And also we brought earth, of course, on that day in 2019. But then we were just discussing it would be nice to do it like in a more structural way, and also invite a group of people who could talk about the meaning of the sculpture, and also from different perspective in different way, also artistic ways, because I work myself as an artist. So we framed it and prepared an application for Amsterdam Art Fund and received this grant.
Yes, and first of all, you wanted to do the like the Corona Loket kind of application, but that was like so overwhelmed with, how do you say it, aanvragen. So we decided to push forward and to just go for a normal application. And you were just like back in the Netherlands, Amsterdam, for 1 or 2 days when we connected. And we got a poet performed by the Dakloze Dichter. And while brainstorming with Masha, and already had, as from 2019, the idea to work together for a project in 2020, Corona added like some new elements, which really worked also, I think, in a way for us, because it will make our like 6 performances a Gesamtkunstwerk, is what AFK, the Amsterdam Fonds voor de Kunsten, wrote in their letter. And the elements of Black Lives Matter and this Corona element really made our work very relevant. And I was also very, in a way, pleasantly surprised how enthusiastic they already were, because for me it's my first application, and it's really also a little bit nervous making, but I'm happy I have you as my partner, Masha. Thank you.
Wow. Huge congratulations.
Thank you.
Particularly for you, Elvira, but both of you, and I'm really looking forward to the project.
Thank you.
And being there in Vondelpark with Mama Baraka and you both.
So maybe we can also share a bit about the structure of events.
Shall we?
Yes.
Let's do it. Let's go. The program unraveling. Yes. Woo woo! Is this the first like program announcement?
It is the first.
Yes. Wow! On Soil Matters, yes. The first announcement. Okay, here we go.
You've got the first scoop here.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys.
Okay, Masha,
my
go.
My listeners are about to just...
Yeah. Go. Go, girl. go she, sorry. Yeah, what is it?
Hey.
Go they. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elvira, for considering non-binary gender pronouns that I prefer.
Go person.
Go person.
Go human.
Just human.
Perfect. Go human. Go earthling.
Earthling. Great human. Great earthling.
So yes, we have actually just today programmed some days, and these are going to be events in Vondelpark from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. and starting from Wednesday 9th of September, and then we have like the weekend of 12th September and 13th of September is also from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And then we will have also Friday, 18th of September from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And then we will also have a weekend, 3rd of October and 4th of October from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. as well.
Yes.
So we have 6 events, and we are inviting different people, different guests for these events. The flowers and the earth will be the elements of the installation, but more things are going to happen. And maybe, Elvira, would you like to talk about the guests that we are inviting and have already invited and have confirmed for this series of happenings and ongoing performative art installation around the monument of Mama Baranka?
I'll do my best, Masha, and correct me if I forget an element or you want to give some additional information. So the first performance person who is very renowned for his musical contribution is Vincent Hinnar from the Fra Fra Sound Band. And he is a very renowned musician. He's from Suriname descent. And yeah, he will reflect on the performance Masha and I will do around the installation. So this is the 9th of September. And then on the 12th September, Saturday, Nelson Carrillo, the sculptor of Mother Earth, will be present to talk, to reflect, to give some in-depth wisdom with his relation and his current work also, which is still evolving and getting also, connecting to current events. And he loves to connect with questions people have. So if you're able to join, please come the 12th of September. He will be accompanied by Punto Buwano. He is from Indonesian descent, and he plays a historical instrument. And now I don't have the correct name, so top of mind, but we will mention this correctly in our information online. So stay tuned. And the 13th of September, Sunday, we also have Punto Buwano. And of course, Masha and myself and you lovely people joining us. Everything I just mentioned is from 2 till 4. And then Friday the 18th and Saturday, 18th September, and Saturday the 3rd of October, Sunday the 4th of October. So we haven't confirmed the following people, but it's going to be like a dance performer, Fuzzle, and also the flutist, Rooney. Rooney is from Curaçao descent. He's a flutist. Fuzzle is from India, Suriname descent. And we have also two women. One will be Marianne Marcolo. She is a Vinti Priestess, and she has a lot of indigenous knowledge when it's concerned the ritual and Vinti practices of Suriname, Creole, Maroon people. And there will also be the radio host and also a very active member in the Suriname community, Helene Bustamente. Masha, did I have everything correct?
I think this is absolutely correct. Actually, it's amazing to hear that we already have this program together, yes. And it's all in our
sprinkle.
Mind and heart. Yes. And that people already confirmed these amazing people. They were so enthusiastic about the project, and they said, we want to collaborate. We just still need to organize, the dates and when exactly everybody can come. Maybe we can leave our social media profiles as a description for this interview, and then people can follow what exactly we are doing.
I can totally put it in the notes. Just send me the links. Nice. I'll put it down there. Yeah, I wanted to, thanks so much for sharing all these dates, and let's go over them again at the end of the show so that people really know when they can show up. I think, it's like a perfect time.
Deliver the change.
A car has just pulled up to deliver the change, Change has been brought and they're leaving again. All those dates sound super interesting, and I hope I can attend them all. And I wanted to ask you about, so you spoke about that, like the importance of absorbing our senses in something, in the earth, and that this leads to some kind of meditative state. And I'm wondering if you can if either of you want to elaborate on that a bit more, on why there's this connection between, absorbing the senses and this meditative state, and what that brings about in the person.
So beautiful question and thoughts, Tanya. So for me personally, knowing the personal quest and journey I started, and actually I started it as from 2008. My professional first background is from a corporate working field. So I've worked in a banking and insurance industry, and more in account management and marketing communication, but that never really satisfied me. And as from 2008 when I was like more in search of, first of all, into flavor. I love all my Suriname dishes from both sides of my family. People from the Creole side, the Indonesian side, the like all the different kind of culture Suriname has. I mean, like the Chinese, people from Libya, of course, European elements and the South American flavors. So you can imagine that, like, I've been really spoiled with all like the dishes from all over the planet, which were like present in Suriname, but also been brought here to Amsterdam. So knowing that I was missing certain flavors, like professional wise, also, I started my own quest, and I at a certain point when I worked freelance. As from 2000, from time to time, I did my own kind of search into eating more healthier and eating more vegetables and fruit. I experienced periods of being more imbalanced. So I also went on this quest, okay, I need to cut out sugar. Do I really need meat? Do I need really fish, etc., etc.? So it's been ups and downs and cravings and not cravings. But now I've also connecting to more earth kind of flavors and real earth. I've now personally at a point that I sometimes think I need meat, but more and more overall my dishes are more like more veggies and fruits and natural flavors. That's really satisfying me. And did I lost where am I now?
I have a new question. What would you say is an earth flavor?
Oh, wow. So, you know, in Suriname, we name those foods. So it's really literally in English, like ground food. So grand yang. So, but those are like the potato kind of elements. So the cassava, the, how do you call it? The cooked bean, the cooked bananas, the sweet potato kind of elements of dishes. So especially when your own taste buds become more neutral and you can be satisfied by just eating like cooked cassava, cooked bananas, cooked like all sorts of cooked foods, just the earth kind of food, those gives earth flavors. And of course, I do a lot with herbs. I do a lot with, so you have kruiden en specerijen, so herbs and spices, or I don't know if this is the English difference, but of course, I mean, yeah, flavor. Yes, you'd say that? Yeah. So flavor-wise, there is like this whole kind of new palette that opened up, and I'm still like learning every day because like all over the planet, besides all sorts of flavor earth, there are so many herbs, spices, and ways of preparing. So, I mean, I'm grating more things, I'm shaving more things, I'm slicing differently. So this is really also another journey I'm on. Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so happy to hear that you're on this journey. And I know, well, like, or let's recognize how important food is to our lives, to the human body. And what I really loved about what you just said is that how you related it back to kind of your mood or your satisfaction in not just eating, but overall life. And I think that's something we massively overlook often in daily life. And yeah, you know, like we have things like McDonald's existing and then this impacts our mental health and we don't even recognize that. So I really appreciate that you pointed that out. And the other, you also said a quote earlier that I really, really, really loved. And you said words equal worlds, or words become worlds. And I think that's really, really true. And words are so important. And the words that we choose carry so much meaning, and they can really create a world for somebody, or they can create a wall for somebody, or they can create a barrier, or they can create a kingdom. And it's so wonderful just to recognize the power of our speech. And I also wanted to ask you, or maybe Marsha, do you want to say something? All right, well, I'll ask both of you. I'll ask both of you. What do you think about the wild idea? This is really wild, and I really want you both to just spit on my face if you don't like the idea. Okay, so what do you think of the idea of bringing like earth and flowers to Mr. Vondel?
Wow.
Idea of like you should do it, but just an idea of talking. It's not an idea that you should do it, but an idea of talking about it, just to make that clear.
So, to have my first feelings reflected with words on the spot. So, it's a good angle, and I'm already playing with a conversation they will have. And first of all, I'm more playing with Vondel reciting a poet for her, or perhaps it's a they. I don't know.
It changes over time. And we're okay with that.
Yeah. And perhaps Vondel is also fluid. I don't know.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
They totally are.
But I think bringing earth, bringing flowers might bring some truth to both their characters. And in essence, because when you were talking just now, in essence, knowing that we both have the positive but also some destructive negative inside, everybody has that. So all the myths, all the legends, eventually all the stories which are outside, when you are able to connect with them also from your personal inside kind of moods and how you are as an adult person, because, I mean, I don't know as from what age each of you can remember the first kind of being alive as a small person on this earth, but my first memories start as from the age of 5, 6. So my first like steps on this earth, my first kind of experience on this earth, like didn't start as from when I was a baby. So a lot of your life starts like not really being here, but being alive and just being alive. So this is like recent thoughts of mine, also from a research point of view, because I am now an adult person and have like different kind of experiences, having some like really joyful moments, also sad moments, and having to cope and emotions when you as a teenager read about and cannot imagine that you will experience when you have experienced them actually, and know how sometimes you can feel so like desolate and bewildered and still have to pick yourself up and have to connect to new people, new places, etc., etc. When certain kind of experiences happen for the first time, it's so like overwhelming and you're like feel lost, like lost in a wood. Do not know how to earth, do not know how to ground. But once you find a new rhythm, once you can become comfortable, and it has to do with inner connections, and this is like my work also with the Barranca statue, to connect with the strength she represents, the pain she has endured, the soothing she can give. When you know and learn more about how art is able to give you those empowering energies and stories we all need, then you are in a way evolving, and it never ends. there is no like final destination. It's just living and learning to appreciate life, yeah, with all the elements in it. Yeah, Masha, do you have to say something?
Oh, I just wanted to say, Elvira, I really love to listen to you, and I think you carry a lot of wisdom, and I'm so happy to actually be your friend and your collaborator.
Thank you. I was just having a sip of beer to ground myself. Thank you, beer.
Actually...
yeah.
I'm just putting some on my forehead now. Yeah, just to calm me down.
Yeah. New perfume.
Put some on the floor. Libation.
So I wanted first to pick up still on this bringing earth and flowers to Mr. Vondel.
Yeah.
And actually, honestly, I think it's not a bad idea at all. And I even think maybe we should include it to one of the events. Mm-hmm. and I how I imagine it, but I'm afraid that it will be seen as an act of vandalism.
Shall we ask Mevrouw Markelo permission?
I'm not sure. Like, I don't want to convince you because I'm not sure if it is a good idea.
We will.
It needs to be considered first.
We will reflect.
This white man that maybe doesn't represent the most positive things today. And maybe it's a thing of the time that was then. Or maybe it is an extension of care and love. So this is something, it's something to think about. And I wanted to share the idea with you, but I'm not. Yeah,
that's good.
Let's see. And it's an interesting discussion. Maybe it's something to try and then decide. No, that was bad, or that was good. That was bad. I'd never take those flowers there again.
We will take this idea, this thought, also to the sculpture, and also perhaps to Mevrouw Markelo and other kind of wise people who are in touch also with the sculpture and these elements. And a good thought. Yeah.
Actually, I'm not in charge of the flowers, so maybe I shouldn't bring this part in. But honestly, if
I'm not in charge of anything.
If I talk about earth and clay, I would imagine just throwing some clay into Mr. Wundel.
Wow. Yeah.
Because I think covering this statue with clay and also different colors of clay would not harm the statue. Mm-hmm. But this can be seen. I did one installation like this in Boston Lumber, and this has been seen as an act of vandalism.
You mean to cover the statue in clay in a similar way to your arm was covered in clay when you had a burn?
Yes, in this way. And actually, I would just throw this clay into the sculpture. So not cover, but just throw it.
Wow. Like picture-wise, I can already see, like, you know, the shapes of like dwirling earth kind of going to Vondel, and but also being absorbed in the air. It might be something worth processing, Masha. I don't know if we'll realize it in this first kind of sixth installation events, but let's elaborate on it and see also how the energies from above, if they accept this new idea.
I love the idea. I love where you've taken this from the flowers to the clay.
I feel like to
apply clay to the statue is this heal, like, you know, to offer this healing is a very powerful gesture and a very beautiful one.
And I also wonder, like, the listeners, if they have some ideas on this, please let us know. I personally, and I think Masha also, we love the feedback and thoughts people are also bringing to me, to us. So it's a joint kind of adventure. Thank you.
Yeah, and you can send an email in at soil_series@riseup.net, and I'll add contact details for Masha and Elvira in the show notes.
And just about grounding, and if you want now to get grounded even more,
yes,
I have some earth here, which is, I think, an ancestral earth for Pimba, as it is also, as you see, some white ball, but a smaller one. And this comes from Nigeria.
Oh, wow. Like from the motherland, the continent Africa. Cool. Nice.
And this earth, I think, is also ancestral earth for maybe all of us, because as my mother told me, and actually my mother has a birthday today.
Mother. Oh, mother. Birthday, mother. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Masha, and the mother.
Masha. My mother's name is Vera. This means belief in Russian.
Vera's belief. Oh, wow. Cool. Cool. And I'm Elvira. Oh, this is Tanya. Masha. We're all with an A. Thank you.
We're all believing.
You're all believing.
Vera. Yeah. In mothers.
Cool.
In mothers.
In mothers.
Non-gendered mothers.
And my mother told me that we all as a humanity came from Africa, from African continent.
Wow.
So I think this is ancestral earth for all of us.
Wow, and I'm now tasting my first small nibble from this Nigerian earth. And this is, it has a particular kind of after flavor, and bite it. It's Pimba-like.
I feel connected to the continent.
Okay, I'm gonna try it. Here we go. It looks very hard. It looks chalky, but far less chalky. Just a little bit of powder comes off on the hands.
Yeah.
And I'm interested into how it's formed, actually, because you can see these imprints in these balls that are a bit smaller than the size of a ping pong ball, like a large marble.
It's a different taste.
Oh, it's really like it.
Me too.
It's
very
good. Oh, this ice is gonna be so great, Masha. I love this one.
Thank you, Continent.
Yeah, I went back for more. I had a second bite.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I was greedy.
Yeah.
You were greedy.
Well, greedy for peace.
Offer Masha their first bite, and I just took a second.
Great. So what do you think, Masha, when you take a bite of this?
Oh, I just wanted to ask you because actually I took away the microphone, but you were saying you feel connected to the continent.
Oh, yes. So now I know. Also, because when you know more, and Masha just took a big chunk from this Nigerian earth.
Put us to shame.
Yeah. I was very polite with my nibbles. But it's so... And I guess it also has to do with how sensitive you are as a human also, because it's not, I guess, for everyone. But once you are really open to new experience, and especially people who are like into new flavors and like to be more adventurous in taste, really must try the earth kind of tastings. So this clay, this earth, and bringing earth really provides. Yeah. And it's so soothing. So... earthing, nice.
Okay, I'm taking another bite.
I want to have another bite after you, and then I want to, and I also want to ask you a question whilst I'm biting. You can answer. What happened in Boston Loma with the statue and covering it with clay? Can you share that story now?
All right. So let me just first reflect on this ball and then answer the question of Tanya. Well, I see everybody is just on this ball now in the studio.
We're gonna finish this ball.
Mmm.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah. It's a natural high, I guess. Yeah. A grounding high.
Yeah, I feel a little bit high, actually, after eating this ball. Like I feel a lot of energy coming up.
But not in a, like, a frenzy kind of way, but you get a little bit, let's call it balanced. Mm. It's really soothing. Really soothing. Yeah, and I had a sweet tooth, but this is like getting, I guess... giving you the flavors perhaps you are missing when you know these are like filled with minerals and all like natural elements from the earth. I think this is like a certain kind of essence that it brings. Yeah.
It is like a food supplement.
It is. It is. Because of course I know the drogist, the apothecary, Lufos kind of product for cleansing, detox kind of clay. But I think this is as much... as use and value as it is. Perhaps we can introduce a new diet regime for perhaps it also soothing for mental kind of imbalances to get balanced. This might be a new regime also. Who knows?
I think, like, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, at least in this small sample right now, I will say.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like my mental state had changed after eating this clay.
I want to donate this piece of peace.
Thank you. I will have some more.
Yeah.
And whilst we listen about the Loma story.
Nice.
Okay, first I just actually want to say about this ball and then about Boston Loma. So this ball, it's also white balls of earth. And it was special for me because the first I was in Suriname, and all this journey 1 month, I was just only learning about Pimba and all these white balls around the country. And then I went to Nigeria and I saw on the market again white balls, but smaller scale. And apparently it's also earth and used for eating as well as for different cultural and spiritual practices. So that's why I said that this is, I believe, an ancestor of Pimba.
Yes, there is a lineage then connected to these kind of smaller balls of Nigerian earth Pimba-like elements. So, and are people also open to talk about the use of this earth, this white earth balls, and were they open to you to share their knowledge about this?
I felt like people were open, but at the same time they didn't know much because this was in the city. And I didn't go so in inland in Nigeria so much. Oh, well, actually, I did go one time. And this was also the time when the car that we were driving was stopped with many people with machine guns. So it was a bit scary.
I can imagine. Oh, and this is like the rural inside land area.
Yeah, we went to this rural inside also with one local person who also was a bit intimidated by that situation.
Wow. And they went like with you on the quest for earthable healing earth kind of samples.
Exactly. We were on the way to the village where some earth is produced and gained. But honestly, so I felt people were open to share, but I would need to go more in inlands, and mostly I was in Lagos working with African Artists Foundation to create an exhibition and a dialogue.
Oh, beautiful.
So I feel like also I know not as much, or maybe not as deep about these balls, but really when I saw them on the market,
there was an aha, a recognized moment for you.
Absolutely. And also there were much more types of earth there than these balls. So there are also other shapes and other colors.
Wow, beautiful. Yeah, it must be for you as an artist, as a researcher, then very rich learning moment to really see them in so many shades and elements available. Yeah, wow.
But yeah, so now I have also these different samples, and maybe I hope we can use them for earthing at Mama Barranca.
We will for sure. And it's so so powerful that you are like so many years have invested in collecting all these samples and your experience and some richness from your side connecting to the Mama Barranca statue and bringing earth to the earth, earthing in Corona times. This is like the title we're working from. And I feel so, in a way, blessed also to be able to do this performance with all the special guests that were able to say yes to our collaboration. So it's so, rich already just to be able to work from a production side and to learn in all what we're doing. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Elvira. I'm also so much looking forward. It is just really amazing that we met. And okay, so let me answer the question of Tanya, because I see the time is running.
Ooh, yeah.
And we even didn't have any song in between, and now it's already 6:45. But yes, so situation in Boston Lomar. It was actually not a statue. It was a work in public space. So there was this space to create works for different artists, and it was kind of a vitrine situation. So you create a work under glass. It's like 2D work, and then it's replaced every 2 months. So I had this kind of possibility to create an artwork for 2 months, artwork in public space. And then the idea for this artwork was that basically, it was triggered by the situation in Boston Lomar, because there was all this artist project and art gallery, and sometimes this art gallery had nudity in it, and this nudity was not really appreciated by the neighborhood, especially definitely not the nudity with elements of homosexuality. So there was some kind of vandalism events happening in the gallery.
Violation?
Yes.
Destruction? And may I ask, what year did this happen, when you did this?
This was 2016.
16, okay.
But basically my reflection was, and I was already busy with this work with clay and eating clay for sure, but I was also really wondering about interaction of body and clay. And already doing some, I guess, some experiences connected to it. And what does it mean to cover body with clay? And it connects to the question of Tanya about some meditative states. For me, actually covering my body with clay and doing it together with people and doing some movements or singing or working with voice, it is a very deep experience.
Wow. And may I ask, Masha, because for these many years that you're working and researching clay, do you still, as from a sensory point of view, and because you really cover your body, you eat it, you in a sense absorb it, do you still like evolve in learning? And do you still... And what is your, what will your first kind of new discoveries will be like? I don't know if you think about new discoveries when it comes to earth and clay. Do you have a thought about that?
Well, it feels like a kind of a relationship with earth, like almost a romantic relationship, which is constantly evolving.
Wow.
There are discoveries which are happening every moment, like even now talking about this white ball of earth from Nigeria. It was such a actually deep moment of connection for me when I tried it, when I put it into my mouth.
Wow. And may I ask, is it just like a shiver from your spine, or is it flavor-wise that it resonates with you? If you really have to microscope-wise would try to take us on your sensory kind of experience, could that be? Do you have words for it?
It makes me think now about actually the experience of going back to the basics, going back to the cave.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I guess microscopic wise, there is much more there than this.
Yeah.
But it is a very deep experience of, I'm not sure how to put it in words, but sometimes I feel like I'm just becoming also something else.
Wow. So you mean transformative someone else, or are you perhaps connecting to deeper layers of yourself instead of becoming someone else? Could you elaborate on that?
I think it can be both. It seems like transcendental.
Yeah. Are you still here with us?
I think so.
Great. Thank you. Tanya, do you have something to add?
I didn't actually finish the story about Boston Loma. We went to a different direction. So maybe I can still finish it.
Yeah, do that. Yeah.
But this, I'll ask a question. Yes. Yeah. This was actually a moment exactly when I was learning from my neighbor about Suriname and Pimba. And my neighbor was explaining how important it is to put Pimba on the body during the cultural practice and how it creates particular ways of connecting to things, and also she showed me quite some videos of Vinti practice.
Wow.
So I guess this was a bit similar period in my life. And then in this work, artwork in public space, I just put a naked picture of myself, and it was first covered by a curtain, and then I opened the curtain, and there were clay, different clays prepared.
Wow.
Next to the picture, and then I told to the visitors of the opening of the exhibition or installation in public space, I said, okay, the nudity is not really appreciated in this neighborhood, in our neighborhood, so can you please cover this picture with clay as fast as you can? And then people just started covering and actually throwing clay into this a naked picture of me. And it was covered quite fast. So then there were different types of clay, like white clay and red clay and green clay.
Wow.
So it was also very colorful. And they just were putting clay so fast that it was all, not only the picture was covered with clay, but the whole wall around the picture was covered with these splashes of different colors of clay.
Mm.
And then it was covered by glass, the picture. So there was actually no kind of threat for the neighborhood, like with this nudity, I mean. But basically what happened, and this was very, very particular, that the curator of the exhibition received an email from the people working, I'm not sure if this were people working in Amsterdam city, Stadsdeel, or they were, this were people from housing corporation, mm-hmm. but basically they were saying that this was an act of vandalism, that the artwork is vandalized, it's covered by paint of different colors, oh. and of course, this has happened because we again have placed nudity in the public space, and this should not happen in this neighborhood.
So wait, they were upset that it had been vandalized, and then they determined that it was vandalized because it was naked, and then they were upset that it was a nude photograph.
But they didn't see that there was a nude photograph. This they couldn't see, but they just saw this clay and they saw that it was paint and they thought it was vandalism. And honestly, okay, I will share this inside information with you. But they said, okay, this was Muslim vandalism. So it was really this kind of, yeah, wow. Layer.
Really drawing some conclusions.
Yeah.
Assumptions there.
Yeah, I mean, okay, it's a private communication from 4 years ago.
Wow, Michelle, what an adventure you had.
but basically the curator said, okay, it's not vandalism, it's an artwork of an artist. Yeah. And then they replied, they said first, you need to remove this vandalism at your as soon as possible,
yeah.
because people are going to buy apartments in this neighborhood, and now when they see this is just so bad for the image. And please clean it, otherwise we shut down the whole work in public space, artwork. And then the curator had to explain that this is my artwork. And then the person from this organization said, well, that's not exactly the work of our taste, but if this is an artwork, it can stay.
If they would know that, like, the message with this, yeah, your clays are like peace bringing. So if that would have been more like highlighted and another narrative would have been brought forward, perhaps the total kind of emotion which got stirred up now, perhaps would have been like directed in another way. But I think it's, learnings. Yeah.
Yes, and so basically just coming up back to Wundel. So I remember so this is how we were throwing clay. It was really beautiful. And I thought maybe we can throw clay at Wundel as well, and then it would be seen as a vandalism as well.
From my storytelling point of view, I will like reflect on it. I will gonna try to dream about it, and depending on how this will evolve, there will be, I think, a follow up because the idea in essence is very beautiful. Yeah, let's take it further. Yeah.
And in this case, of course, they are not going to label it as vandalism. They labeled it before. There will be a different dimension.
I think so too.
To it.
Yeah. It already has evolved, you know? So it's everything in general. People first ridicule like new things and then people adapt. And I think I see ourselves, Masha, as very innovative, and we are on a way not setting new rules, but reconnecting people. And I don't know where we went wrong. We somewhere went wrong, but like the distrust, the unbalance, the disconnectiveness, there is like so much like going on that's like making us people, making they, them, her, him so much into like conflict that, what's happening inside reflected outside, and again, like full circle moment, words create worlds. So once you reconnect, once you become peace, once you become more balanced, then you are able to put out balance in a world. And you know, we start with little ways, we start with little bites and nibbles with earth and the flowers and the symbolism, and we have a big great work in the Vondelpark, and we're gonna do some beautiful things as from September.
Yeah, maybe people will think it is a protection against corona. The clay.
We hope, and actually the plan is that all the events will be very corona friendly. Mm.
Perfect. That's good news. I wanted to say that, I think with like this connecting to earth and the idea of like clearing the mind and achieving some state of balance and meditation, I think the way that this happens is when you bring all of your senses into the one place. And often when we're walking around the world, we are seeing one thing and feeling another, or seeing one thing and thinking another and hearing another and tasting another. And when we bring all of these senses to the one thing, which often happens, you know, out in nature, because it then all the things tie together. Then you smell things that you were seeing, and you hear things that you were seeing. And
the earth will speak to you. The earth will communicate with you, and your lessons and your wishes and the way you can manifest, really. Because, like, in essence, when it's true that words create worlds, and what you experience when you become more present and more aligned in yourself, and also in a way more responsible, because like the journey, the quest, the path, it doesn't mean that you're not gonna be unhappy. It doesn't mean that everything will be like one big joyful, blissful kind of experience, but you are able to cope, you are able to connect, you are able to trust, and to trust yourself. And essentially, we're just here for a short time on this earth. So Masha, me, the flowers, the earthing, our like installations, 6 performances, we hope to connect with you listeners. And yeah, that my collaboration with Masha is gonna be an evolving journey and quest. Yeah, and Masha and I are now connecting in body, and now we're one.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you both here, and so happy that I can host you today. Thank you so much. And I think that, yeah, we are not like any different to like the past humans also, but I feel like we have this extra challenge because the place around us changes so quickly now, that our senses developed relatively very slowly over thousands of years. And so we are used to these environments where the smells match up with the sights, match up with the hearing, match up with the touch. And now we are in environments where we're looking at a screen or so that does not match up with the smell, which does not match up with the touch, does not match up with the room that we're sitting. And then I think our person becomes a little bit like agitated, but not so much in a large way, but then this builds up like day after day, time after time. And so I think, when we go out into nature, then we soothe our senses and we soothe our mind quite a bit. And I think these practices that you offer of finding ways to connect back to earth and to connect our senses into one kind of experience, I think they're really powerful and really needed. I feel that during Corona, we really have the moment and the opportunity to appreciate these times, or we have more space to venture and to spend time caring for ourselves. And perhaps we have also the motivation to appreciate it more.
Yeah,
so thank you both. And I'm just going to read back these dates to everybody. I hope I wrote them all down. It's the 12th and 13th of September.
And first of all, 9th.
The 9th. So the first one is the 9th of September, the 12th and 13th of September, the 18th of September, and the 3rd and 4th of October. And all of those events are from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And they're all at the Mama Branca statue in Vondelpark, which is at the more northern end of Vondelpark. And I'm going to put all of the information for this in the show notes. And just a huge thank you to both of you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I've had a bit of a tough week in Corona, in quarantine. And I really enjoyed the ice cream, and I really enjoyed eating the earth. And I feel like connected to both of you, and more connected to the earth after the radio today.
Thank you. Thank you, people, listeners.
Thank you so much, Tanya. And actually, I hope that in September we can come back here with Nelson Carrillo.
Nelson, that would be great. Yeah, just when before his 12th September kind of performance, perhaps on Friday the 11th, might be a nice way of getting you listeners extra excited to visit the 2 to 4 event.
I love it. It's booked in. Thanks so much. I'd be honored. That's wonderful. So, and you can catch all of our past episodes on mixcloud.com/soil_matters and email us at soil_series@riseup.net. And I will see you next week. We're having Preeti Chopra on the radio, which Preeti was also involved in the grounding webinar, which is really fantastic. And have a great weekend. Take care and goodbye.